What we are doing this morning is not a typical sermon. This is kind of taking stock of who we are and looking at a couple of things that lie ahead for us. This kind of flows out of the fact that in 2018, we put together some strategic initiatives that were going to kind of guide what we were going to focus on as a church for 5 years. It's been more than 5 years since 2018. And I'm not going to rehearse all of those things, but they guided us. And there's been a lot that have happened over the last 5 to 6 years, most of which we could not have predicted when we set up those 5-year strategic initiatives. We have sought to build a sense of family and community at Covenant. And through the Covenant family, there's a lot of amazing things being done in the community. Our impact on next generations is vibrant and thriving. In that 5-year time, Brent and Leticia came, and then Jules eventually joined them. And hasn't just been Brent, although he's taken that to a new level. That ministry has been maintained through the work of people like Mary and Ange, and it's been exciting to see more volunteers come in on that. So that's one of the things that's been amazing. We shifted from a traditional VBS to our Makerspace camp, and it's just like exploded in terms of interest and engagement. It's been incredible to see what's happened with that in the last many years. In that 5-year span, one of the good things to come out of not using our building all the time was it gave us space to renovate and change the look in here. I feel like it's a lot more welcoming and peaceful space when people come into our auditorium. And our building has started to get a ton of community use. Early on runs on Mondays. They run a satellite site here. AA uses our space on Monday evening. A Brownies and Guides troop uses our space on Tuesday evenings. Youth is here on Wednesday. Most of the youth are not a part of the church. We got music team that is often here on Thursday. It all told, dozens, probably, very likely over 100 community people come through our space every single week between September and May. All that being said, I think the biggest thing we have to celebrate from the past number of years is that together we've gotten through more than we could have ever imagined was coming. There's a lot of churches our size that are barely holding on due to people not coming back after COVID, or they're just barely holding on, but staff has moved on because they just were exhausted. Things haven't been... I struggle with the idea of getting back to normal because I think we've been through this long enough that normal is probably not coming back. Things are different, and that's okay. We're discovering that difference together. We've been tired. There have been challenges. But we've maintained our love for Jesus, for each other, and our community. We've sought to humbly do the best we can to follow Jesus and rely on God's sustaining love and grace. And so we're at this point where we're like, okay, we need to talk about what's ahead. Because those 5-year initiatives are well past. And I am not unfolding new 5-year initiatives today. But I want to talk about what we want, a couple of the things that we want to emphasize and try and do as we move ahead. To help us with that, I'm going to draw on a few of our Be in Christ Church of Canada values. And the first thing I just want to highlight that we are going to try and do is something that you're like, well, that we probably don't even need to say it. But it's important sometimes to say the things that we presume because you can easily forget the basics. The first thing we're going to try and do, I'm going to read from our first of our stated values. That is experiencing God's love and grace. We value the free gift of salvation in Christ Jesus and the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. I'm starting out here because if we miss out on this and do all the rest of the stuff I'm going to talk about, it's been for nothing. At our core, we are a Jesus-centered family. Our primary desire is that we'll continue to grow in the love and grace of Jesus. We do this together as a covenant family, and we seek to help each other individually grow in God's love and grace. We just ran through our thank yous, acknowledging the contributions of dozens of people, and I know we miss some. I know that many of us serve in ways beyond the walls and ministries of the church, but if we do tens of thousands of ministry service hours every year and miss out on God's love and grace, we've missed out on the main thing. If we have 1,000 kids show up to our Makerspace camp, first of all, we need more volunteers, but if we do that and we don't grow in God's love and grace, we will have missed out. If we have, you know, the best music in our church north of Toronto, we have the best sermons, the biggest crowds, but we don't move further up and further into the love and grace of God, we'll be going in the wrong direction. Before Jesus left his followers to their work and the work that has been subsequently passed on to us, he gave them this instruction. It's often called the Great Commission. He says, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. There's lots of ways to parse out this command, but ultimately there's one thing that we're supposed to do here. We're supposed to be disciples who are helping others become disciples. To be apprentices in the way of Jesus, who initiate others into this apprenticeship, that's baptism, that's the initiation, and help them to join us in learning and living out the way of Jesus. That's our call, like grow in this and help others to grow in it with us. And what did this way of Jesus look like? What was Jesus' commands to his disciples? We see that summarized in John 13. This is, again, Jesus is preparing to leave his disciples. He's actually preparing them for the crucifixion and his resurrection and then ultimately his departure. And as he does, he gives them this word. He says, so now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. So you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. We're going to talk about a couple of specific things we want to do beyond this, but learning to live in and learning to live out the way of Jesus is always our primary goal. In fact, the other things that we are seeking to do are first and foremost rooted in this desire to show and share Jesus' love to each other in the world. We are beloved by God. May we increasingly become rooted and established in Christ's love. May that always be our first task. To introduce the second thing we want to do in the near future, let me share another one of our values. One of our values says serving compassionately. We value serving others at their point of need, following the example of our Lord Jesus. I love that this emphasizes the point of need in others and the example of Jesus. You know, when the crowd was hungry, Jesus worked with his disciples to feed them. When a blind man called out to Jesus, Jesus didn't actually presume. He said, "What do you want me to do for you?" When he met Nicodemus, the religious leader, in the night, Jesus heard his questions and answered based on the scripture, the law that Nicodemus knew and was so passionate about. Jesus regularly went out of his way to meet people on their terms. This is what we would like to do with the next thing we are aiming for in the next little while. Kind of a big thing, in that we've talked about this lots, we would like to actually move ahead with adapting our building so that it's truly accessible. We've talked about this for a long time in all kinds of different ways, and after hearing from our covenant family, our board is convinced that we need to move ahead by entering into an active fundraising campaign that, when complete, will allow us to do the first phase of construction. The first phase is the most expensive and the most important of part of a larger project. And phase one, for those who aren't familiar with any of the stuff that we've talked about, basically phase one of this project would see us build an entrance out the east side of the building, kind of back where the office is right now. It would be an on-grade entrance near the parking lot. So there's no need for ramps to get into the building. And then when people come in, there'll be a three-stage lift to help people access the whole building without having to go outside, without having to use ramps that don't actually meet the ideal code right now. And some might be thinking, wait, we haven't voted on this final thing yet, and we are aware of that. We will be voting. We will be coming for final approval once the board has discerned which contractor we would like to work with. We're currently talking with two different companies and getting their answers on some very specific kinds of questions. So we'll have need to get the congregation to vote in favor of it before we actually build, and we'll need to get a denominational agreement before we build. But when we get to the point of approval, we would like to be well on our way to having the money available so that it's not this like, yes, we approve, and then we have to wait and financial realities have changed and we have to do everything again. So we want to start the process of fundraising towards this project so that we can move ahead when we get final approval. Our best estimate is that phase one will cost about $350,000. Which is a lot of money for a church our size. That price depends on how soon we can do it and what materials cost when the project can happen. But we have started a campaign to raise $350,000. To contribute to this, you can go to the normal places that you give. If it's online, you can go on and select the option building, and it would go towards this. If you give online, or sorry, if you give in person, you can put money in an envelope for the building and write building on it, and it will be designated to this. Or you can go to a special project website. We have set up a pledge campaign online to help us plan and track both what has come in for the project and what people plan to contribute. So we're inviting everyone who would like to be a part of this to prayerfully consider how much you believe God might be asking you to contribute to this project over the next year. We really do believe that God wants us to create a space that welcomes everyone, regardless of their level of mobility. So we're trying to follow this example of Jesus and serve others at their point of need. How might God lead you to participate in making this reality? So this pledge campaign, to see it, you can visit covenantchurch.ca, and at the top, there's now a thing that says building. That will take you to the special campaign website where you can read about the plan. You can make one-time contributions, or you can set up pledge amounts to be given over the coming year. If you say, I feel like I'm going to, like God is leading me to give this, but I can't do it right now, you can put in that pledge amount, and we can see how much has been pledged towards it. And before we can consider building, we have to have a certain amount either in pledges or already given. That's kind of how it works. We don't have to have it all there to start. We just need to know it's coming. At this point, we've set this campaign to run until June 15th, 2025. June 15th happens to be our 45th anniversary. I think that'll be a pretty cool way to celebrate our 45th anniversary. So we've set it for that. Truthfully, it seems crazy to me to think about raising $350,000 between now and then. But I will also say that in my 9 years at Covenant, I have regularly seen God work through his people to accomplish things that I thought were impossible. We'll be able to track our progress towards our goal both on the Pledge Campaign website and in our church lobby. When you come in next week, you're going to see this picture. A space where everyone connects. But you're actually not going to see that picture, because we all have a puzzle that is exactly that size with color on it. And as we get money, we're going to start filling out the puzzle, and we'll be able to see how much we have received by how much color there is on the puzzle. And one of the fun pieces is that, I'll back up and say we have a 1,000-piece puzzle. So every $350 of contributions or pledges is one very small puzzle piece on it. But the other fun part is that you won't actually see this picture next week exactly as it is, because over the last year and a bit, we've had money already been given towards the project as we've been talking about it, and the board has designated a bunch of money in our surplus funds to go towards this. So we already have $42,801 in the fund towards our $350,000 project. So that's over 12% of our grand total and 122 puzzle pieces that will be glued on there by the time you get here next week. So this is phase one. There are other parts of the project. We want to close in the front porch. Because we'll have stairs there, we'll take out those stairs and put in an office. We want to do those things. Those are phases two and three. Our best guess is those will cost, you know, around $100,000, maybe a little bit more than that, depending on when we can get to it. So there is more coming, but this is the big part. This is the accessibility part. This is the part that is driving the whole thing. I know this is a huge ask, but it's also very exciting as we look towards actually making our building a space where everyone, as it says, has the chance to connect. But that's not the only thing we want to do over the next period of time. Here's another one of our values to help us think about the next thing. Belonging to community of faith. I think that's on there. There it is. Belonging to the community of faith. We value integrity in relationships and mutual accountability in an atmosphere of grace, love, and acceptance. We want to do this together as a community in this place, but I'm highlighting this value because this idea of relationship and mutual accountability is what we are hoping to keep building with a part of our BIC community of faith in Santa Clara, Cuba. Last November, Leticia and I had a chance to visit Cuba on your behalf to explore the possibility of building a relationship with the church there. We shared with you about a church in the university neighborhood in Santa Clara. Since then, my family, Angie, Josiah, Mike, and I had the opportunity to visit that church family and that community while on vacation. And we have a church have talked about that, and there's been this consensus that we would like to continue to pursue a connection with this church, focus on mutual encouragement, shared learning, and practical service. The board has approved this. We've talked about what this would look like, and we've talked about the possibility of a team going this fall, but we didn't know what that would look like. We have heard from the church there, and they have shared with us how we can practically bless them and serve them when we go in November. Short version, we can help them install a floor. Around a year ago, the church in Santa Clara met under a blue tarp that was held up by a bamboo fence on one side and the pastor's house on the other side. It was basically like a side yard or driveway area. Since then, by the time we went in November, the bamboo frame had been replaced by a brick wall and a tin roof had been put on top. By the time we got there in March, they had actually put in some ventilation spaces. You can see them kind of along the side and the top that allow air movement through the space. But if you look, the floor looks exactly like the road outside. It is a dirty dirt floor. It really does kick up a lot of dust. It isn't particularly clean. It takes a toll both on the house that's attached to it as all the stuff gets dragged in, and it takes its toll on the equipment that they have, which is very limited equipment without much ability to repair it. So it makes a big difference if they can keep it clean and not wrecked. To be able to do this, they need $3,000 for the floor. $3,000 is all they would need. For us, that's about 4,500 Canadian. The plan is for us to raise that money, and then when a team goes in November, that team will work alongside them to mix the concrete and install a floor. We don't need people who are experts in laying concrete. They know how to do that. We just need people who are ready and able to work alongside them. We're also going to need to raise some money for other supplies that the team will take down, ministry resources, and then there's the cost per person. So we are seeking to raise more than $4,500, maybe as high as $10,000. Again, we have probably about $1,500, I think, still in the budget, so not quite that much, but We're looking to do this in November. But the most important thing, in addition to contributing to help this happen, is we want people to join us as a part of this team. If you're interested in building relationships with our BIC family in Santa Clara, working alongside them and doing some dirty work, sharing and worship with them, really getting to know them, this is not a vacation. The beds are the beds they sleep in. They aren't always the most comfortable. It's a relationship building ministry trip. But if you're interested, or if you want, even if you just want more information, you can go to our website, covenantchurch.ca/ministries, and then you can see a picture for our Cuba partnership. And on there, you can fill out a Cuba expression of interest form. That doesn't sign you up. It gives you a chance to ask some questions and share some of the things you're thinking about. And we would love to put together a small team, even if it was only 4 or 6 people. That would be amazing to have some people go and get to know them and serve alongside them in something that will make a really huge difference for them and for their community, because their building is used for all kinds of community stuff. I had something else I was going to talk about. Actually, I'll read this. The next value I was going to read is following Jesus. We value wholehearted obedience to Christ Jesus through the empowering presence of the Holy Spirit. Keep your eyes and ears open, because we are going to be talking about a way to help individuals hear the leading, be sensitive to the leading of God in terms of what God is leading them into, and then through that, what God might be leading us into. If you aren't connected to our church emails, then be great to stay up to date on stuff by getting signed up. We have a weekly email. We have prayer emails, and then we have covenant news and note emails. And if you want to be on those lists, you can either click on the link in the YouTube feed if you're online, covenantchurch.ca, about us, I'm new. And you can sign up there for the emails, or the easiest way if you're here in person is we got little cards, actual paper with pens. You guys remember how to use those? And there's a thing for email on the back, and you can check what you want to be a part of, what emails you want to receive. But to wrap up, I want to highlight one more of our values. This one is relying on God. It says, we confess our dependency on God for everything and seek to deepen our intimacy with him by living prayerfully. Raising the amount of money we would like to make our building accessible is daunting. Remaining committed in the midst of that fundraiser to also supporting and building relationships with our church family in Cuba is challenging. Prayerfully listening for God's voice to lead us both individually and collectively takes a lot of courage. We need to rely on God to provide all of those things. We can't do any of this in our own strength and power. But even more than that, we need to rely on God to keep us focused on the first thing we talked about, the priority that we continue to live and love in the way of Jesus, and we grow in that. Paul talked about this reliance on God in Ephesians 3. Here's what he prayed for them and what I pray for us as we move into these next things God has for us. He said, I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he, God, will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. We're not going to sing the last song because of time. Hope you guys are okay with that. But we are just some really quick closing reminders. Next week, we are shifting into our summer format, so the chairs will be set up differently. If you're online, you will need to watch it during the, like, at 10 o'clock, because once, or 10:30, sorry, get the right time. Because once service is done, we aren't going to make, it's not going to be available online, so that there's freedom for people to talk and have conversation. It's also our summer kickoff barbecue, so bring a side dish and or a dessert to share if you are able to. So we're looking forward to that. If you would like prayer after, I believe Mary is in the prayer room up here to your right. She'd be happy to meet you and pray with you there. There is cake, and there might even still be coffee. I don't know for sure. There's still coffee out there? Thanks for checking on that. There is still coffee to go with your cake. I'm going to pray, and I invite you to stick around. Enjoy some cake. Visit with each other. If you have questions about this stuff, ask away. And if you have kids and youth, don't forget that they're here while you're enjoying your cake and coffee. Let me pray. God, thank you. Thank you for what you have done among us and in us, not just over the last 5 to 6 years, but for 44 years. Thank you for thousands and thousands of hours that people have invested into helping this part of your kingdom to be an outpost, a lighthouse for your kingdom in this community. God, may we seek first your kingdom and your righteousness and trust that you will add all the other things that we need. God, thank you for your presence among us today. Thank you that as we go from this place, you are with us wherever we are right now. God, there is nowhere we can run from your presence. God, may we be aware of it as we move through the week and the summer to come. In Jesus' name, amen.